Hi, Lila.
Hey, Hannah.
Okay, so check this out.
Can you make my hair look like this?
Oh, man, what you want to make your hair look like that for? Well, I like the way you wear your hair. Wear natural. That's good, man. You know, I wish more of the young children today would wear their hair natural like Dr. Martin Luther King did.
Do you remember that movie?
Yes, I totally remember that movie, Coming to America with Eddie Murphy. Ugh.
Right.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. Classic. And just a quick note to folks, there is some language coming up in this episode. So in Coming to America, Eddie Murphy is playing Prince Akeem from Zamunda.
Zamunda.
Totally made up country.
Made up.
Like Nambia. Like Nambia.
Let's all get our tickets.
So he goes into this barbershop and he wants to get a jerry curl. It's the 80s.
Ooh, jerry curl. Hannah, did you have a jerry curl?
I did not ever get a jerry curl, but did you?
I totally had a jerry curl. It was a shag. I was like the female version of El DeBarge. It was so cute. I mean, I would spray my spritz in it so it wouldn't get too juicy wet, but it still had like a nice sheen. Anyway, so I did have a soul glow. He never got a soul glow.
He never did.
But so basically for the rest of the movie, it's like a reality check for him about living in America.
Yeah, he has a certain expectation, right, of what America is like. And then he finds out it really ain't what he thought. And that's what we're talking about today.
Behold, Simi, life, real life, a thing that we have been denied for far too long. Good morning, my neighbors!
Hey, fuck you!
Yes! Yes! Fuck you, too!
Welcome to the stoop.
The stoop.
The stoop.
The stoop.
Stories about Black identity that aren't always shared in the open.
Shh, girl, we can't say that.
It's like a griot,
a hair salon,
a newsroom,
and your mama's kitchen all in one.
The stoop.
Ladies and gentlemen, ma bibi na mabwana, damasi caballero, zavangina na magaka, mind, bambo, welcome, karibuni, bienvenidos to Africa Mix on KLW 91.7 FM with your host Edwin Okongo.
That's Edwin, and today we're getting into his story.
Edwin, Jumbo Abadi. You didn't know that I speak it, Hana.
What? Jumbo.
Yep, Jumbo Abadi. So Edwin, he's a journalist and he's a comedian and he hosts this African music show that's on the radio. So Edwin remembers back in the 80s when his uncle returned to Kenya to tell the whole village about his life in America.
Right. He said the whole village came out to hear his uncle's Coming to America story.
And people like in the village where we are from, they sat under this big sacred tree that we call Omotembe. And they sat down. This is where like they used to hold like the courts in a traditional, where we call Ritongo, which was the traditional court, you know, which you are held in. So they sit down and he's telling them these stories about America and how things are, you know, everybody drives and you know where we come from, a car is a sign of wealth. And we're like, wow.
His uncle brought back t-shirts and shoes for everybody in the village.
It was this huge event.
And then he brought money. It was like, I wanna be able to do that. I wanna go to America. So he was talking about there's a machine you put, money gives you food.
Machine.
Ooh, I don't know what he's talking about. What is that machine? The food machine.
I don't know what machine he's talking about, but people started talking and everyone had their own version of this story. You know the grapevine and how that works.
Yes.
Like a game of telephone. And so by the time the story reached Edwin, I mean, his imagination just took off.
You imagine this conveyor belt, like you don't have to leave the office, you just press and it brings like a nice hot meal coming on a conveyor belt to your desk and all you have to do is eat, you know. So I came to find out that was about a vending machine. Yeah, so we had all these misconceptions.
He was dreaming about America.
America.
A lot of us thought that it was going to be a huge city. Everything is developed. And there's no rural areas, no unpaved road, no poverty. So really, it was that like heaven. And I think a lot of immigrants have said that, you know, America is heaven.
Heaven. Heaven. Heaven.
Okay, Leela, can we travel for a minute?
Yeah, of course. Where are we going?
We're going to Sudan, where my family's from, northwest of Kenya.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
I was visiting back home and I said, you know, I want to hear what people think about America. So I went to this market and just asked people, you know, what do they imagine when they think about America?
يعني بلد كبيرة كده يعني
So this man's saying he imagines America is a huge place, beautiful. He says, like you went to heaven. And he says, if you go to America, you'll become a billionaire. And when you work there, you make dollars. And if you make dollars, obviously you're rich and you have value. Why? Because you're making dollars. And I talked to more and more people. Different things came up. Democracy, rights, freedom. But this word kept coming up. Al-Jannah.
Al-Jannah. Al-Jannah. What's that mean?
Al-Jannah means heaven.
Since 2015, 2.1 million African immigrants came to the U.S.
Right. And a lot of them were maybe like Edwin and those men I met at the Sudanese market. They hear stories about what America is or what America's like and how easy life will be here, you know, making all those dollars and being rich. And for a new immigrant to America, that usually is really not the case.
Mm-hmm. And Edwin Okongo found that out real quick.
So I land in San Francisco, and my uncle comes to pick me up, and it was raining, you know, that January rain, and I've got in a car, and it's a flashy Toyota 4Runner Burgundy, and it's like driving down the highway, and I'm looking at all this nice building and the white highways, and this African music playing, you know, my favorite. And he had this guy, Alus Mabele, who I loved when I was in high school, and he's playing, and I'm like, man, heaven is good. And we're driving, we go down to Santa Clara, and I expected my uncle to be in a mansion, you know, mansion. But we walk into this apartment complex and walk into in there. Introduces me to like six people, and then you know they cook, we eat, and then it comes time to go to bed, and I find out that all those six people lived there. In this two-bedroom apartment, and I'm shown my corner, like, you're going to be sleeping there, and so is, you know, face your feet that way so they don't stink on his face. And it was just like, you know, waking up in that living room. And I learned very early on that, wow, this is not what I signed up for. This is going to be tough.
So Edwin started applying for jobs since he needed to pay for school.
My first job was doing dishes at a school and working at Wendy's.
He worked long hours, making less than $5 an hour.
And he did that for a few months.
And there are actually some times I was feigning sickness to get out of that job. Because I was, this is hard. When I look at the, where is that job that I thought that you made a lot of money, especially when the check comes in and you're like, what is this? You know, it is, if I made this money in Kenya, I'll be like the equivalent of a lawyer, doctor, but here it is.
That's the one thing he says he wishes he would have known about.
Mm-hmm. That it's not easy money, right?
Yeah. Not at all.
And nobody talks about the poverty that is here and how hard and the loans that a lot of these people are taking to go back home, you know. So that's why we were like, it's heaven. So people like my uncle, you know, God bless him, I love him, but I, you know, he knows I talk about this, like, you guys really did us a disservice in not saying that you were working really hard. You were doing things that you, a lot of us, that we have done that we would not want to talk about to make that money to help our families.
So now what do you tell people in Kenya who want to come to the United States?
I tell them the truth. I tell them that this place is tough. I tell them that if you have a job in Kenya, you have a good job, you've been to a university, you have no business being in the United States.
And, you know, there's so much people wish someone told them about America before they came here, you know?
We should ask people what they wish someone would have told them, right?
That's an awesome idea, and I did it.
Of course you did. Who'd you ask?
Well, I went up to some Sudanese folks. They were just at a park. It was a picnic. It was a windy day.
I wish someone told me that you have to have legal paper to go from here back home, because the first time I went home was after 4.5 years since I came here and I didn't see my parents.
I wish somebody told me how to go to school to make it for me easier. When you come in, you start education, and then you immediately get in a good job instead of paying at a lower pay.
I wish someone told me it was too expensive to make phone calls. It was MCI, AT&T, $4.50 for the first minute.
I wish somebody told me it's too much tax. I wish somebody told me traffic is a big issue. I wish somebody told me my kids will not belong to my own country and they have totally different ideas than I do.
That's a lot to take in.
I know, it was getting deep. But I kept this question going. I actually took it right to my hair salon.
So I wish somebody told me that you don't have no maids here.
That's Marie. She does my kids' braids. She's from Senegal.
Did she say no maids? No maids here? That's pretty bougie.
Not really. Not really bougie. Because, see, back home in many countries, maids and housekeepers are just a normal thing. It's really a common job and really a source of income for many people. So Marie came here 24 years ago.
Oh my God, it's like everybody was jealous. Everybody wanted, they thought that I was just amazing. And then I was the talk of the town too at that time. In a good way though, in a good way.
Because you're coming to America.
Yes, because I'm coming to America, yeah.
Ooh, so today she owns a salon. She's putting her daughter through college. But she says still she wishes she knew then what she knows now.
Okay, let's hang out with her some more. I want to hear a little bit more. And I need a Senegalese twist. Can you hook me up?
Ooh, girl.
Hello!
Hi!
You're beautiful!
Okay, so I wish I knew about the system, how things work here. I didn't know about credit. I didn't know about financial, how to manage your finances. I didn't know about savings. So I wish somebody told me that you don't have no maids here. Everything you do, you on your own. You're going to do it. You on your own. And that's what I found out, you know. So even when I first came, the very first week, I started sobbing. I was crying because I never, like, washed dishes. I know how to do it, but I have people that did it at home.
I know this sounds so bougie to people here, but it is true. We are shocked when we come here that we have to do all this. And people don't think about this about Africa, I bet, at all. It's not expected of Africa to be the place where people are being pampered and don't have to wash their own dishes.
Right.
So in a lot of parts, you know.
Yeah.
That's the case, especially in the cities.
Poor Marie.
Okay, let's move on.
So I never had to worry about it. So in my little mind, when I was excited about coming here, I didn't know about all those details. So now when I came, I'm in the house with my husband. He goes to work. Then I have to cook. I have to clean. I have to do all these things, which I knew how to do it, but I'm not used to do it because we had maids. So I'm like, what? So that means I have to get up every day, you know, take care of this house, cook for this man before he comes, and all these things that the maids do, and then I didn't think about it. Now I'm facing reality. It was hard for me.
Plus, Lila, I mean, one big thing for women is when they have their first child here in the U.S., they're all alone.
Hmm.
When you have a baby back home, you have like the grandmother, the mother, the aunties, the sisters, the neighbor, everybody come. They're so excited about the baby. So you don't get to do anything. You rest, you take care of yourself, they take care of you. They only hand the baby to you to breastfeed or do those things. But you always have somebody, you have a maid too, to help with the baby, change the diapers, whatever. But I came here, I look at this little thing in front of me. I didn't even know how to change the diaper. I'm like, oh my God. And I was by myself. And for me, I had a C-section. So it was a struggle.
Is there a point ever where you said, I want to just go home?
I did. At some point, I wanted to go back. Even my husband saw that I was kind of like going through like a little depression. So I was just frustrated. I was frustrated. I wish I was home and I needed my mom. You know, I needed somebody to tell me, oh, no, don't hold her like this and that and that. I'm being a little bit emotional. It was not easy for me.
So then that's something that changes when you're here, right? You're starting to mm-hmm. wonder, like, where are your people? You know, how do you start over with community?
Yeah, I mean, you've got this huge network back home, you know, and, you know, here for a lot of Africans, they're starting over.
America is not for everybody. There are people that do better back home than here, you know. I really believe that because I've seen people that got so frustrated here, you know, they didn't do well at all, but then just decide, you know what, let me just let it go, let me go back and then start from scratch. And then they excel. They did very well and they're very successful. And if they didn't have the wisdom to go back home, they'll be struggling here.
So let's get back to Edwin.
Okay. So Edwin, he was doing his thing. He was working hard, trying to save money to go to school.
And he was learning other things about America.
The black thing did not appear to me until I came to this country.
What black thing? What do you mean?
Like, I'm black. Like, the color of my skin was never really an issue in Kenya. Not even an issue. It never came up. We're all black, right?
All of a sudden, he had a race.
Mm-hmm. And he started noticing differences in how he was treated.
And then you meet white people. And I start hanging out with white people. And they would tell you, they'll start very quickly telling you about how you are the better black. Yes. You guys, your culture is different. And you're not as, you know, violent. And you work hard, you know. And then you begin to believe it because you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, Edwin, wait a minute. So this is something that we've talked about before, Hannah. You've said this before, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about stereotypes that Africans have coming into this country about African Americans.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's be honest. Did you ever feel like you had to kind of sort of differentiate yourself from Black Americans?
I mean, not me, but I do hear that a lot in other families, you know, telling their kids, especially the boys, you know, the way you look, your image, the way you talk. You ought to hear a mom saying to her boy, "Ya walad, ma titkallam kida." it translates into don't talk like that. And usually what she's talking about is like if they're singing a hip hop song or something, like yo, 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 blah, da, 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 da. Like the moment a Sudanese boy starts doing that, he gets shouted at right away. I've seen that. I have seen it. You know, it's just like, okay. What are you doing? He'd be like, I'm just singing a song. Like, this is pop culture now. It's not me being like imitating or wanting to be like a Black American. And what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
So that's quite a conversation.
How come I'm never invited to your Sudanese gatherings? I think I know why.
Oh, girl, you will be welcomed and you will be treated like a queen.
Everyone will be speaking.
They may talk
Arabic
after you leave. Okay, Leela. So we need to circle back to the story. It's like you have to define yourself, right? Like, what box do I check?
I do check it as Black. They usually have Black / African American, right? So I check it as Black, and for a very long time we felt like I'm not really Black, as I said, you know, growing up, I'm not Black, right?
Can you explain that?
I mean, it's coming from Kenya, where we never use the word Black to describe ourselves. We said we are Africans, right? We never say that we Black people. Whenever we were taught about colonialism, it was, oh, the Africans and the Europeans. It was Africans and Europeans. There was never real, it was Black used, right? So it was not, so when you come here and you're being called Black, it's not, you're not rejecting it, but it's the first time it's being used against you. And you're being like, I mean, to describe you, and you're like, wow, I'm Black, okay? But if I didn't feel that way at the beginning, I'm talking about the beginning when we're here. So you're like, I'm not really quite Black, not African American, but they want me to check something, right? And later on, I began to check the word other, and I would write African.
Then he went to college.
At the university is where I learned about African Americans, the history of African American. Took a couple classes on that, read a few books on that. So learning about the civil rights movement, you know, the Jim Crow laws and then the civil rights, and honestly, that's when I became Black. I said, I feel for these people. These are my people. And I began to, like, what they have been through.
Right? So now you're Black.
Now I'm Black.
So, Leela, there's a lot to learn about coming to America.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just learning about race. It's learning that your kids will be American. Mm-hmm. Your degree might not matter. You know, you might be doing a job that you never even thought that you'd be doing, right?
Right, right. Money don't grow on trees. You're not going to be a billionaire.
Right. And then you might find out one very important thing when coming to America.
What's that?
That they discontinued your favorite Jerry Curl.
What? 1, 2, 3.
Just let your soul go. Just let it shine through. Just let your
That's The Stoop.
The Stoop. Music in today's episode was by Daoud Anthony and Mazen Jamal.
Engineering by James Rollins. Support for The Stoop comes from the NPR Story Lab and from California Humanities, a nonprofit partner of the NEH. Find them at calhum.org. Our radio home is KALW San Francisco.
And one more thing, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
If you love radio storytelling, and want to learn, yes, I want to learn a little bit about how to make these types of stories, then you should consider applying to the Transom Storytelling Workshop. It's a 9-week audio intensive in Cape Cod.
Transom supports diversity in voices like our voices. Right, Leela?
Right.
Yes. And they offer full scholarships to make that happen. So go to transom.org to apply, by December 1st.
Do it.
And there's more about today's episode at thestoop.org. See y'all next time. Bye, Leela.
Bye, Hannah.
Just let your soul glow. Just let your soul.
Oh, God.
Ouch.
Yeah, you need some voice coaching.